So hey, guys, it's so great to be able to share this time with you. My name's Rusty, and if you have come since I left for the last like 3 decades, I have done Jason's job, and now Jason is doing it so much better than I ever could. I am so honored to have him as my pastor. I get to be kind of the Walmart greeter for the church these days, and I love it. I love it. Maybe you guys are wondering, who's the crazy guy that's always hugging people? That's me. That's me. And I've just been around too long for people to say, stop that. Stop that. You make people nervous. Anyway, so we've been in this Find and Follow series because we really want to be a church. We really want to be a church that helps people find and follow Jesus. You know, Jason's been talking about how you move from, you know, maybe just spiritually disinterested, just not even really, it's not even kind of on your radar, but something happens in your life, an event, a moment, or maybe just a whisper from God in your soul, and suddenly you start thinking, maybe there's something to this, and maybe I should investigate. And so you start to look into it. And as you do, you begin to say, I think maybe, just maybe, God's up to something in my life. And you move from spiritually curious, maybe to the point that you begin to say, I think I believe. I think I believe. I know there's a God, and I think maybe God knows me, and maybe God cares about me. So let's press in a little further. And so you move from being spiritually curious to taking that step of faith to become a new believer. And you've seen people go through the waters of baptism just in the last few weeks. You've seen people take that step of faith to say, I want to go public with my faith. And then, having done that, there's what we try to refer to people with, a more than Sunday faith. What does it mean for it to be more than just on a Sunday morning, more than just a place to hang out, more than just a few friendly faces on a Sunday morning? How do you have a more than Sunday faith? And how do you grow in Christ? What does that even mean? What does it look like? Discipleship is such a churchy word. You never really hear it outside of the church context, but maybe it's like mentoring. Maybe it's like tutoring. Maybe it's like, I don't know. So one way people talk about it in the past is spiritual disciplines. What are the things that you can do that are going to help you take strides forward, that are going to help you press in with Jesus? And through the years, sometimes it's been called Christian spiritual formation. And that's what I want us to talk about and spend some time on today. But I want to give you some questions to frame up our time together. So the first question is this: how's it going with Jesus? I mean, if you've recently come to that place where you say, I believe, well, how's it going with Jesus? If you've recently come back to the faith of your childhood, how's it going with Jesus? If you're coming to a place where you're saying, I want more out of my Christianity. I want more out of my spiritual life. I want more than I've known thus far. How's it going with Jesus? And here's another question that follows up on that one. Do you ever feel stuck in your pursuit of Christ? Do you ever feel stuck? I mean, like maybe you've plateaued? Because here's the thing, in Christianity, in your spiritual walk, in your faith walk, it seems to me that you're either going up and to the right, but you can't plateau for very long before you start to decline. Anybody else ever get that? I mean, you don't just level off and stay there. If you stay there too long, you begin to, at some point, become aware of a spiritual drift that's going on in your heart. And so then you're left with the next question: how do you get off the bubble? How do you take steps to reopen the conversation with Jesus? How do you take steps to, having drifted, how do you take steps to draw near once again? So those are the things we're going to be talking about today. And there's some big ideas that inform our time together today. For one, the Apostle Paul, right? One of the most prolific writers in all of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, he had this habit of praying for people that he loved. and putting it down on paper, the kinds of things he was asking God to do. You find it in all the letters that he wrote to his friends in different cities and different places and different churches. And today we're going to look at one of those prayers. There are lots of them, and you could go find them. And I think there's something really special about saying, what is it that God has in mind for me that he's already put in the pages of his word that he wants to do in me if I would join him in what he wants to accomplish in me? What are the things that Paul has already been praying for you? The things that I think on the strength of that, you could say, God wants to answer those prayers. What if I could pray the same prayers for my own heart that Paul has already been praying for me? Years ago, through the Billy Graham organization, a guy wrote a little pamphlet, a little tract that they would give to people who asked Jesus into their heart at a Billy Graham crusade. It's called My Heart, Christ Home. A guy named Bob Munger wrote this little tract. And the idea was, the big idea for that tract was this. Once you ask Jesus into your heart, think of your life as a house, and you invite Jesus into the front door. Well, what if you went further than that? More than just, you know, Jesus is knocking at the door and you open the door. You know that promise in his word? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. But what if beyond just inviting Jesus in, you invited Jesus to move in? And so we're going to talk a little more about that in a few minutes. And then frankly, doing the dailies. Because if you think that you're going to become who God intended you to be through 1 hour on any given Sunday, you're fooling yourself. It's just not going to work. If you've been asking yourself, you know, I've been coming to church, for a number of weeks now, ever since Christmas, ever since January, you know, I haven't missed a Sunday, or maybe one or two Sundays, but I've been coming pretty consistently, and things haven't changed at the rate I expect them to change. Well, I would invite you to think about what happens outside of a Sunday morning. What are the dailies that you're engaging in to try to press in to know Jesus, to find and follow Jesus? So my mind just goes here, the who, what, where, when, why, and how of it all. And so I just, as a preface to our time, the who are we talking about? When we talk about discipleship, when we talk about spiritual formation, when we talk about growing in Christ and more than Sunday faith, who is engaged? Who are the players that are engaged in that process? Well, one, God, right? I mean, you're here because God called you here. You really are. You may have thought you decided to show up today. God had in mind for you to be here. If that seems a little woo-woo to you, brace yourself. God is at work in your life. God is active in your life. And by God, I don't just mean some amorphous thing out in the heavens. I mean God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who is at work in you to breathe into your life, to draw you to himself, to empower your life and enliven your decision-making. God is at work in your life in this process. And obviously you've got to participate. You've got to be a willing participant in what God is at work to do in your life. A very impactful writer of the 20th century, Henry Blackaby, he wrote a series of books about experiencing God. Doug, you know what I'm talking about. And what he said was, you find where God is at work and you join him there. How can you join God? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How can you join God in the pursuit of who God intended you to be? And then here's one you may not have really thought about, because a lot of us see Christianity as sort of an individual sport. But frankly, it's not just God and it's not just you. You got to find your people. You're going to find your people who are going to pursue Christ the way you're wanting and needing to pursue Christ. There's a place in 2 Timothy where Paul says, pursue righteousness, faith, and love along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You need to find some people like that. You need to find some people who are hungry like Jesus, like you want to be. Not who are hungry for Jesus like you're hungry for Jesus. You need to find some people who are hungry for Jesus the way you wish you were hungry for Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? It's the truth, y'all. In fact, the place I see it happening so much in my world right now is some buddies of mine that get together every Wednesday night and just sort of share some time and share some thoughts and open our lives up to one another. It's amazing what happens and how fruitful it becomes when you've got some people who are going to help spur you on. That's a Bible term in Hebrews, spur you on to love and good works. You got to find your people. What? It's not just head stuff, discipleship, Christian formation. It's not just learning something new. It's not just finding some new curriculum to work through, some new book to read. It's about being rooted and established in God's love. It's about God's roots going down in you to kind of hold the soil so it doesn't erode out of your life. Does that make sense? The what is more than head knowledge. In fact, there's two words in Greek for knowledge. There's a knowledge of the head, and then there's a knowledge of the heart. And that's what we're after. That's what we're after. When? Well, now. Now. I've known too many people who said, once I master this particular sin, then I'm going to go hard after Jesus. It'll never happen. It will never happen. I've known a lot of people who say, well, I'm really busy this season of my life in my family, in my whatever it may be, in my career, in my school career, whatever it may be. There are so many people I've met who say, you know what? I want to press in on that. And as soon as this is over, then I will. Mm-mm. It will never happen. Now is the time. You know why I say that? Because now is when the Holy Spirit has brought it to your attention. Now is when the Holy Spirit has whispered it in your ear. Now is when the presence of God has breathed over you to warm your heart to this. So when? Well, now. Now. In fact, you could go on the church's website. You could talk to Amanda. You could talk to Jess. You could talk to Jason. You could talk to Jack. You could find somebody who could, or just talk to anybody you know that's in a Sunday school class or a small group or one of my buddies that comes on Wednesday nights or one of the ladies that comes in Wednesday morning small groups or whatever the case may be and say, can you tell me where I can get traction in the body here? Oh, people be hungry to tell you. So, when? Now. Ongoing. It's not a one and done. I wish it were. I wish you could just wave Harry Potter's wand and all of a sudden you're exactly where you need to be in Jesus. That's not how it works. It's ongoing. It's a daily process. Foot by foot, step by step, growing by growing by growing until... Well, here's how God says it in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's not one and done. It keeps right on going and going and going. And then one more word for you on when. If you've become stagnant in your pursuit of Christ, if you've become stale, once you were on fire for Jesus, but now the embers have kind of burned down. It's not just now. It's not just ongoing. If that's you, if you've faltered, if you've fallen, if you've stumbled, it's time to restart. Now's your time. Today's your day. Recommit, re-up in your relationship with Jesus. Where? Well, you start where you are. Buddy of mine, his church used to say, meeting people where they are, helping them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. So many people want to start their Christian life where they wish they were, but you got to start where you are. You just got to start where you are. And once you've started where you are, you'll be amazed as the Holy Spirit empowers your growth. You may see lightning growth. And when you see lightning growth, just be ready. Because God is going to let it slow down long enough to seep down into your soul. You don't want it to run off like a flash flood that runs off and leaves the ground still parched underneath. You want it to be able to soak in. And so that's how that works. Why? Why? Because it's what you were created for. I don't know if you know this, but you were created in the image of God. God said eternity in your hearts. Some philosopher once said, there's this God-shaped vacuum inside each of us, and it won't be filled unless it gets filled with God. You could try to fill it with, well, you could fill it with almost anything. Some people try to fill it with human relationships. Trouble is, there is no human being that you've ever laid eyes on who is big enough to fill that God-shaped vacuum in your life. Can I get an amen on that? And when it doesn't get filled with a person, if you're not careful, you start looking for the next person and the next and the next and the next. And we all know how deep that hole goes. And if you realize it can't be filled with people, you start trying to fill it with things. And if you can't fill it with things, you fill it with, well, you begin to self-medicate. And when that happens, guys, nothing good comes from it. So, who, what, where, when, why, and how? Well, the how is by experiencing God. Not just by knowing something more, learning a new set of facts. That won't do it. That won't do it at all. You've got to actually experience God. And so here's one of Paul's prayers that he prayed for us. I want us to look at it together. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You hear the experiential nature of that? And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people. You hear that? Find your people. Together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long, how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now, does that sound like an academic pursuit to you? It doesn't to me. Does it sound like the kind of thing that happens because you showed up in the right class at the right time, having prepared the right lesson? It sounds like something you get by spending time with Jesus. Let me read it to you out of the New Living Translation. I love the way it says it here. Paul says, for this reason, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth, and I pray that from his glorious, unlimited riches, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. It's not something that happens lightly. It's not something that happens without God showing up in your life. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and long and high and deep is his love is. May you experience the love of Christ that is too great to understand fully. I love that line, don't you? To just recognize and acknowledge that we'll never get it all. We'll never be able to wrap our minds around all this, but I want to know more. I want to know what's next, Lord. I want to keep growing. I want to keep deepening. I want to go higher and wider and deeper and longer in you. I love the way he prays that. And I think the very fact that it's recorded in the pages of Scripture gives us permission to pray that same kind of prayer. That little pamphlet I told you about, My Heart, Christ's Home, where it says in chapter 2 of Ephesians, it talks about being made part of a dwelling place where God lives by his Spirit. Jesus stands at the door and he knocks, and you let him in. But as you let him in, how far do you let him come? What if Jesus got past the front door of your heart? What if Jesus went beyond your Sunday mornings, more than Sunday faith? What if you let Jesus into your living room? What if Jesus had access to your Netflix queue? What if you let Jesus into the living of your life? What if you let him into the part, honestly, where your family comes to sort of relax and let down and not have the pretense that you show to the world out there where you finally can be yourself? What if you let Jesus into that part of your life? What if you let him into your kitchen? You know, you've heard about refrigerator friends, right? Friends who are close enough that they can come over to your house and they don't have to ask first before going in your fridge. What if Jesus was like a refrigerator friend who was close enough to you, honestly, that he could just walk in and sit down at your kitchen table? Because, you know, that's where real decisions are made in most families. You know, around the kitchen table, the conversation of the day, the stuff of life. What if Jesus made it beyond the front door? In the track, he talked about the workroom. If we were writing it today, we'd probably talk about the home office, right? The place where you set up, and honestly, even your kids know to leave you alone when you're in there. Well, that might be a little optimistic if you're a mom. But anyway, you close the door in your home office and your family kind of leaves you alone. But I've known a lot of people, even in the context of their home, who fall in those private places. They wind up going places on their computer they shouldn't go. They wind up in conversations they probably shouldn't have. And probably, being in the context of their home, they should know better. But there's an insulating effect of that door that closes, and you almost think nobody will know, nobody will see. But what if Jesus, having been welcomed into your home, is given access also to your home office? He said rec room. But what if Jesus actually made his way? Actually, I think in the original document he called it a rumpus room. That probably wouldn't sell very well today. But what if you let Jesus into the things you do for fun? What if you let Jesus into the things you do to escape from the things you have to, the things you get to do to escape from the things you've got to do? What if you let Jesus there? What if you invited Jesus there into the parts of your life that make you come alive? A buddy of mine used to say all the things that churches do for men's ministry to invite guys to are the things guys actually try to do to get away from their Christian friends. Right, Doug? Anyway. What if you invited Jesus into those places? What if you allowed Jesus to come into the things that make you, you? But then he finished that pamphlet with a thought that is kind of haunting when he said, what if Jesus came to a door that was locked? And Jesus said, what's in there? He said, oh, it's just the stuff. It's just storage. It's just stuff. What if Jesus said, I'd like to look through there? The room where you keep the hidden places, the locked away places, the shut up places in your life. What if Jesus wanted to go there? In fact, I would say this. You're never going to become the person God had in mind for you to be until you open the shut up places and allow Jesus in. If you're going to be, as it says here, the dwelling place where God lives by his Spirit, if that's going to be you, you're going to have to let him in. You're going to have to let him in. You're going to have to let him in to the things. So usually when you talk about discipleship or formation, you talk about how you grow in Christ. There was this book years ago, The Purpose-Driven Life, right? Rick Warren book. A lot of you read it years ago. You've forgotten it. If you still got a copy of it, you know what I would suggest? Drag it back out, blow the dust off of it, and read it again. It's still good stuff. It's still good stuff. But basically, he says, you know, there's like five places in your life, arenas of your life that you would do well to consecrate to the Lord. And he talked about worship and fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and mission. What is it that delights you in your life? And you say, well, what delights me in my life is not necessarily the things that I would think of as worship. But I would submit to you that if what you really love is sunrise in a deer stand, that could be worship if you would allow it. If what you really love is the laughter of your children, that could be worship if you would allow it. If what you really love is somewhere outside of the walls of this church, then I would invite you to thank God for it and call it worship. Lord, would you meet me there? Would you go there with me? What is it that delights you? Fellowship, very churchy word, fellowship, right? But what it really means is finding your people, finding your tribe, finding the people with whom you want to pursue Christ, the people who are hungry for God the way you wish you were hungry for God. How do you do life with them? And if it's not something more than an hour on Sunday, guys, it's not sufficient. If you count on this time to be the lifeline for you in your faith, I mean, God is gracious and God is so kind, but you need more. You need more. Especially, you need to be able to get real with people beyond where you've got to keep your appearances up. Does that make sense? It does to me. That's how my personality is wired. Some people are not as much that way, but for me, if all you knew me on a Sunday morning, one of my life goals is to be the same guy on a Sunday morning that I am the rest of the week. And I have to work at it sometimes. You think I'm a much better man than I actually am. You got to find ways to go there with people that you trust. Discipleship, becoming like Christ. That's ultimately what it be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. That's what it means to be engaged in that process of becoming like Jesus. Ministry, living beyond yourself. What is there that God has put on your heart that allows you to live beyond yourself? And mission, what are you going to do with your one and only life? How will you invest yourself for the kingdom of God? Where's it going? So I want to invite you back to those first questions. Will you join me in this notion of how's it going with Jesus? Will you just take a minute and consider that with me? You know, we talk a lot about crossing the line of faith, moving from spiritually curious to a new believer. Jesus knocking at the door and you let him in. Now what? How's it going with Jesus? Last year, we saw so many people get baptized. Over the last several months, we've seen so many people get baptized. In the coming weeks, you'll see so many young people from that Next Gen weekend follow through and take that public step of faith and go through the water of baptism. Well, now what? Now what? How's it going with Jesus? Too many of us, myself included, have settled for a kind of relationship with Jesus that goes this far and no further. That's not the way to live, not forever. So how's it going with Jesus? Have you felt stuck? Have you become stuck? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that I'm hanging up on? In our Celebrate Recovery, we used to talk about hurts and hang-ups and addictions. Lord, where am I hanging up? Where am I snagging up? What is it that's impeding my forward movement? One of the things that we see over and over again in our Wednesday nights is guys who finally decide to come clean and just bring something out into the open. And here's what I know. When the wicked schemes of the enemy are exposed, they lose their power. So what is it that's hung you up? What is it that stuck you fast? What is it that today, if you could say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to be free. I want to be free. Ask the Lord, God, what would you put your finger on in my life? What would you put your finger on in my life that needs to change? And then if you could just decide, I'm going to agree with God to move forward. God, I invite you into the stuck place. God, I invite you to set me free. Break the chains. Open the prison doors. Lord, in Jesus' name, come. Maybe ask the Lord, Lord, what is the next step you want me to take? I put my faith in you. I prayed the prayer. And you may think, what's the big deal with baptism? That's no big deal. But I can tell you this, it's a powerful statement, not only to the Lord, but also to your own heart. Dead to the old ways, alive again to God through Jesus Christ. It's a powerful statement to your own heart. Is that you? Maybe there's some things God's put on your heart. Maybe you say, you know what? I want to get involved. I want to find some people that really are pursuing this. Do it. Do it. Now's the time. In fact, if you want to, during our invitation time, you can even come up here and there's a card on the front seat. It's a membership card. But if you just want to use it to write a note and say, help me find a place to get involved. Or scan the code. Help me find a place to get involved. Help me find a place because I'm floundering here and I need to take some next steps. Maybe ask the Lord, is there some forgiveness that I need to seek or some forgiveness that I need to offer in order to move forward? What is it that's going to get you off the bubble and moving forward again with Jesus? What needs to change in order for you to change? Would you stand together? I want to pray this over you. Lord, in Jesus' name, I love that line from the song that says, you loved me too much to let me stay lost. And Lord, I believe that you love me too much to let me stay stuck. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, I join with the Apostle Paul in saying, Lord, in Jesus' name, would you make your home in my heart? Teach me, Lord, to trust you. Lord, would you cause my roots to grow down into your love and keep me strong, Lord, because I don't feel very strong. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you grow my roots down into you? Lord, would you give me power to understand? Would you give me power to understand how wide and high and long and deep your love is? Lord, in Jesus' name, would you catch me into the mystery? Too much to understand fully. But Lord, I don't want to stop short of hearing from you.